Our text for this morning is one that should be familiar. It's often used for a prayer to begin our chapels. John chapter 17, verse 17, sanctify them by your truth, your word is truth. George Packer's recent article in The Atlantic, The Moral Case Against Equity Language, takes to task equity language guides, which attempt to, as he says, cleanse language of any trace of privilege, hierarchy, bias, or exclusion. For example, the Sierra Club's Equity Language Guide discourages the words stand, American, blind, and crazy. The first two fail at inclusion because not everyone can stand and not everyone living in the country is a citizen. The third and fourth, even as figures of speech, like the legislatures are blind to the effects of their law, even as figures of speech, they're insulting of the disabled to the disabled. Though Packer criticizes these guides, he considers himself a progressive and is sympathetic to the rationale behind such guides. We too, as Christians, should be careful not to be insulting or unsympathetic in the way we speak to and about others. But we may also recognize what Packer does. He writes, "The whole tendency of equity language is to blur the contours of hard, often unpleasant facts. Imprecise language is less likely to offend. Good writing, vivid imagery, strong statements will hurt because it's bound to convey painful truths." He goes on, "The guides want to make the ugliness of our society disappear by linguistic fiat. Even by their own lights, they do more ill than good because they make it impossible to face squarely the wrongs they want to right, which is the starting point for any change." As we consider the miraculous events of the Holy Week that we just celebrated, we can be thankful for the clear truth of the forgiveness of sins and salvation that God has provided to us in the plain and simple language of His holy word. When we think of the way the world celebrates Christian holidays, it seems that there's quite a bit more excitement about Christmas than Easter, probably because of the secular traditions. Indeed, it may even be difficult for us as sinful Christians to get excited about Easter. But when we look at the miraculous shift from the somber reflection of Good Friday to the joyous celebration of Easter Sunday, through faith, we can recognize in the clear language of the law and the gospel how joyful Easter is. On Good Friday, Christ died for the sins of all. Very simple language. All includes each one of us, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It is our sins that put Jesus on the cross. Unless we look at our thoughts, words, and deeds in comparison to God's holy law, we cannot recognize the immense sacrifice of Christ for our sins. It may be easy to hide behind polite language and lie to ourselves regarding our sins. We're really not that bad. We're not sinful, just weak. What we're doing is not wrong. It's just a slight flaw or a bad habit that we'll change later. It's not a sin, it's a lifestyle choice or something that just can't be helped or is not that big of a deal. God's word, though, provides perfect moral clarity. We were dead in trespasses and sins. We have to be honest about sin with ourselves and also especially with our fellow Christians. Just like equity language may end up covering up real problems, so we too do our fellow Christians no favors when we don't speak the truth in love to them in a humble manner. Recognizing our sinful nature as well. It's not helpful to turn a blind eye to sin that is right in front of us. By comforting those who refuse to recognize their own sins or dressing up their sins in a more flattering light, we are not helping them, but hurting them. It is difficult to face up to our own sins in clear language, and it can just be as difficult to tell our family and our friends the hard truth that what they are doing is in opposition to God's word. It's only through faith and the power of the Holy Spirit that we can do so. Once we face our sins squarely, we can understand our need for forgiveness and thus recognize the greatness of Christ's sacrifice and the relief we feel for that forgiveness. Knowing the bare, unvarnished truth about ourselves, that we are corrupt and rotten through and through and are headed for hell, is indeed difficult, but it's the only way that we recognize our problem is sin and the solution is Christ. Christ's simple words on the cross, "It is finished," provide an unambiguous truth. Christ has died for all sins, past, present, and future of all people. This work stands completed. Nothing, thankfully, is left to us. In fact, as we read in Isaiah, "But we are all like an unclean thing. All our righteousness are like filthy rags." There's no compromise, no half-truth, or evasive language. Our sins have been paid for. "Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow." Similarly, the words on Easter morning are strikingly clear. Christ is arisen. Again, there's no hedging, no obfuscation, no wiggle room. The simple fact that Christ is risen from the dead is proof that God has accepted Christ's sacrifice, so we are declared righteous before God, pure and sinless. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. As much as our sinful natures want to excuse our sins, so do we try to make the gospel more complicated, more contingent than necessary. What great comfort, then, to read and study the clear words of the Bible to emphasize that truth that is unbelievable to the human brain: God has saved us from our sins. When we are assailed by guilt and pain and the struggles that attend our lives, let us cling dearly to that simple truth. Let us also be emboldened that no matter how awkward or untrained or seemingly ill-equipped we are, we too can share the simple yet beautiful gospel message of the forgiveness of sins with others. As we continue to be blessed with God's word and its clear truth and purity, let the Holy Spirit provide us the strength to see the truth of our sins and all their darkness and depravity, but also the beautiful comfort of the wonderfully simple truth and goodness of Christ's suffering, death, and resurrection, which provide us forgiveness of sins and eternal life. We sing hymn 289, verses 1 through 3, 289, 1 through 3.